This is the Geek Dads, the podcast of geekdad.com on the Wired Blog Network. This is episode 62. Now with more bacon. Hello again, everyone. You're back, or we're back, and you have found it. This is the Geek Dads, episode number 62, also known as the just-in-time episode of the Geek Dads, because I, Ken Denmead, editor of geekdad.com and your host, pulled in the house not very long ago. We got delayed at family dinner, and and I looked at my watch, and it was like 12:02, and I knew we were a solid 10 minutes away. I looked up and went, "Waitress, check, please," and made a very mad dash home. That is neither here nor there, though. We are here to entertain you, and I have, well, hopefully. That's our goal, at least, and you have to have goals. Matt Blum's I'm not going to say in the house. Matt Blum is on the Skype call. Hello, Matt. How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay, Ken. How are you?
Still hyperventilating from the mad dash home. Hold on a second while I sip this lovely Northern California Zinfandel. Anything interesting going on?
In my life? No, not particularly.
Okay. Yeah. Boring. Moving on. And Jonathan Liu. How you doing, Jonathan?
I'm doing well.
Good. So who's got the higher snowdrifts right now?
Oh, well, we have no drifts left anymore.
Oh, it's all gone.
We don't have any. We
have a couple of piles here and there where they used to be like 7 feet tall and they're now about 18 inches tall. But,
because just last weekend, the East Coast tried to hold on to me again after my quick visit. It was, flew in on Thursday night for that presentation at Franklin Marshall College, and it snowed overnight, put down a few inches, and it was snowing when we left the college to head back down to Baltimore. And
that's now actually completely bypassed the D.C. area, though. We got nothing.
Thank goodness, because then my flight was still delayed like an hour and 20 minutes getting out, such that my connecting flight in Las Vegas, I literally did the dash between gates.
Oh, man.
Did not have time to stop and put, waste $20 in a slot machine or anything. Probably a good thing. But, yeah, literally did the run between gates but made it to the plane and even got the seat I was hoping for. So that was a good thing.
Indeed.
Made it home to my family on time rather than having to wait a couple extra hours. But you know what? This I really don't want to do air travel to the East Coast in the winter anymore. Please make it stop.
Believe me, we didn't want the snow either. I was very happy when that snowstorm missed us. We got like about a half hour of flurries, and that was it.
Yeah,
it
was really interesting because it hit up in Lancaster, which is about I think 90 miles north of Baltimore, and it hit reasonably there. And the drive down, it was snowing solidly, not blizzard whiteouts, but it was snowing solidly. And once we got in with about 30, 40 miles north of Baltimore, it just slacked off completely. And by the time we were at BWI, It was perfectly lovely. I mean, it's still overcast, but sun was breaking through and not too bad.
That's true. Although being able to see Baltimore is not necessarily a positive.
we did get on the way out. We took the a wrong turn out of the rental car facility and almost got lost in like rural Baltimore.
Rural?
Which was a little Baltimore. I don't rural. I have no idea. I mean, it was
Baltimore is actually a city.
Yes, I know, but somewhere on the outskirts of the airport there are,
the airport is not
roads and
the airport is not actually in Baltimore.
Right.
Just like Washington Dulles is not in Washington.
I was afraid we'd found our way to Appalachia. And in fact, we'd never make our way back out again. John Booth is in the chat room. Hello, John. Good to see you.
Hey, John.
Oh, he says Chewie fell over during last week's melt, but he's buried again. We remember that awesome post, that visual.
That was just wonderful. Very cool. Yeah, we're getting rain today here. Ooh. Might get a little snow tonight, but it won't stick.
Yeah, we got rain today. It's been lovely. So the whole thing at the college was fantastic. It was really, really, really cool. And Natanya was awesome to work with. She is an excellent speaker, and we just like, it was like, you know, it was two geeks coming together and putting on a presentation, and it worked so well. And we actually got laughs out of college students, which was like, that's wow, cool. Hey, cool. So I will, obviously it is a presentation and may not be everyone's cup of tea, but it went really well. And the Ustream is available. There's a post about it on Geek Dad, and you can go to Ustream and find it on our channel. I'm hoping to get some better video out of the college sometime soon, but they were really happy the best part was they were really happy about it. We had the, you know, senior English professor who runs the facility that we were speaking at say, "Oh, this was great. We never had anything like this. It was so informative." So woohoo.
Yeah. It was good school too.
It was like, you know, we were bringing a little bit of the reality of what it is to try and be bloggers and or just writers in the current, you know, this new media transitional period. And these kids that are, you know, English majors, writing majors, whatever, at liberal arts colleges, all they're getting is theory. And they're, you know, they're doing the texts, they're learning style and grammar and all of that stuff, but it's all theory and there's no practical business side to it. So actually Natanya and I have talked about seeing whether or not we might be able to package this up and take it on the road and find if there are any other colleges that would like to see this, because it seemed like there was a need.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Very cool.
So it were nifty.
Very cool.
So news of the week. What do we got, guys?
Well, excuse me. I was just reading something that says that the Chile earthquake may have made the Earth days ever so slightly shorter. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. That was for, yeah.
Sure. It's like by 1.26 milliseconds.
Yeah, it's small, but holy cow.
But yeah, that's just how big an earthquake it was.
I mean, well, now, what did I saw... Phil Plate, bad astronomer, tweet at one point that there is actually an like 8.8 magnitude earthquake once every like year or two somewhere in the world.
I don't think so.
I saw him tweet that.
Okay. This was the seventh strongest earthquake in recorded history.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. Wow.
On the other hand, recorded history is what, the last 120 years, if that?
Well, no, they've made estimates of ones that have happened over several hundred years.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So,
I love the story because we were doing the last mission project for my younger son, and the story of the mission he did, which was San Juan Bautista, south of San Jose. The story of how the Spanish came in and were building the mission grounds and everything, and the local Native Americans, you know, obviously no one really spoke each other's language. The local Native Americans were watching them build these structures and were just trying to tell them, "Hey guys, the ground shakes here. You're going to have problems." And the Spanish were like, you know, simple natives are trying to explain that their gods will be angry or something like that. And, you know, 3-4 years later, boom, the whole thing comes crashing down.
Sure.
Like, listen to the locals. They know what they're talking about. Anything else? That's it. This has been another great episode of the Geek
Dad. Sorry.
You're not allowed to read Twitter while we're actually recording the podcast.
Well, I suppose we could talk about... go ahead.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
Oh, I was going to mention, I just read today about Google Kansas. Have you heard of Google Kansas?
I have, but
Google Knee Topeka.
Right. The you know, in their attempts to draw Google's you know, gigabit per second fiber optic broadband.
How many they have would sell portions of our souls at least to get gigabit
yes. broadband? Well, you know, so Topeka, Kansas apparently sold their name at least for a month. And they have renamed Topeka, Kansas as Google, Kansas for the month of March.
Yeah. Nice shtick.
And I thought it was very funny. I didn't know this before, but they said in 1998, they changed their name to Topeka-chu.
Oh,
for apparently a month. I guess a month also.
Oh, my. Which,
you know, I don't know how.
There's precedence for an entire city to sell themselves. I don't, you know,
and while,
I got to give you know, it. It's cute. It's amusing.
I wouldn't want to live in Topeka, Chu. I do think it's much more clever than Google Kansas.
It is. Definitely. Although, it's also more embarrassing.
Yes, absolutely. I would not want to live in Topeka, Chu, Kansas.
No. If I had to choose between the, I would live in Google before I would live in Pikachu. Topeka, Chu, sorry. Yeah.
It's a straight man, or they'll come after you.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
I mean, not too worried. If you're going to name your city after something, first of all, you know, make it something a little bit cooler, and you know, have the determination to stick with it. Like, what is it, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I mean that's a solid right there. That's you know, you know where those people stand.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah. All right, what else we got? There's been more news than that. Or maybe not. That's what I get for
John. John Booth wants to know how much we could get to be Google Dad.
If they want to give us a couple of $1 million, I'll think about it.
or fiber optic broadband.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
I teased today. Well, you know, all right. I will mention this that it's a very far off thing. This is, you know, news of the growing Geek Dad empire. Because soon we will. You know what? To heck with Howard Stern. Geek Dad will be king of all media soon. Because we now have the opportunity to be involved with a public radio show. We have been approached about being part of a segment on a weekly fatherhood parenting show that a producer down in L.A. is trying to put together to sell out to as many public radio stations as she can get to. She's affiliated with like NPR and stuff. And so we're trying to put some stuff together for that. So it made me think about the fact that we now have possibilities in, you know, radio, a bunch of us, you know, not just including the Geek Dad book, but a bunch of us are writers that have put books out. We have been quoted in newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
We have, like, the little ABC News Now. We've got TV presence. And, of course, web video presence. We have our podcast presence. So we are covering everywhere. And now, you know, but somebody did point out to me, of course, you know, we have not seen yet any evidence of anyone getting Geek Dad body art.
That's true.
So what's the next, like, giveaway contest we could do where, you know, people get Geek Dad tattoos and we'll pick a winner and they'll, you know.
That would have to be a pretty big prize, I would think, for making, like, a permanent, you know.
Well, you know what? It would. I think it would probably depend upon the person. I bet you there's a number out there. You know, in the very least, we could just get Z to do it. But
well, that's true.
D20 on one bicep and the Geek Dad Robo on the other.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a. I don't know if Zazzle offers it, but I wonder if any of those you make where you can have temporary tattoos.
That, you know what? That would be something awesome for Maker Faire.
That's true.
What if we could get into sheets,
that? I think tattoos. They make a. They make something like
inkjet or something.
Yeah.
That's true. If we get we'd have to make a whole bunch of them.
Yeah. Oh man, if we could get a whole bunch of really good ones, and then every kid who comes by the Maker Faire booth gets a Geek Dad robot on his cheek.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And we've got these kids walking all over Maker Faire all both days with advertising.
Yeah, it doesn't look like Zazzle does it, but I wonder if anybody else does that. Mass produces that, because you know, if we do it with an inkjet, it's going to take a long time and a lot of ink to do that for enough people to make it worthwhile. But I'll definitely look into that.
The marketing is. Our marketing minds are going here. No real updates on Geek Dad 2.0 yet. We're waiting for the platform to catch up with what we need it to be able to do for the blogging management. So anyone who's listening, especially those folks that actually signed up for the beta, we're still here. It's still being developed, and they've added some features that have gotten us much of the way that we need to get to. But before we can actually do the full switchover, we need a couple of more tools added just to help us in our management. So it's a little frustrating, but it's going to get there. It's delayed a little while. Here's a good one. I'm wondering if anyone, neither one of you guys, anyone in the chat room or anyone listening is going to be going to the first LEGO League championships that I believe will be in like Atlanta in April.
First I've heard of it, but that could
It's the big robot building thing in the United States. I know Chris is
World Festival Atlanta, Georgia.
Right. Yeah.
April 14th to 17th.
Yeah, it's pretty huge. And that is where finally, after months and months and months of delays, the Moonbots competition will be officially unveiled, announced, and kicked off.
Cool.
So here's a good teaser for all of our friends who saw that, 6 months ago, 7 months ago, when we when it got teased the first time and then sort of sucked back in for re-education. It will be a much more polished endeavor than it was previously, and everything is being worked on very, very studiously, and it's going to it is real. It is going to happen. So especially if you've got, you know, especially if you're in school, or if you've got a group of kids that you can put together interested in building Mindstorm's robots, think about getting involved in this challenge. It's going to be really cool. Lots of cool stuff to do, and some good prizes. Dan Donahue just came on.
Yep.
I wonder if our friend Dan wants to join us.
Of course, it's what? Middle of the afternoon for him?
Yesterday, yeah. Or tomorrow?
Tomorrow,
all right.
We had a... I was in Kansas City this past weekend for a wedding, and had a get-together with Dave Banks while I was over on that side of the state.
Ah, neato.
So we had a very, very, very mini Geek Dad convention. got our kids together and just hung out at the library and chatted about all these things.
I saw you both tweeting about that. Sounded like fun.
Yeah. So kind of need to.
Whenever, wherever we can, we get together
face to face.
Obviously, PAX East is going to be huge for that.
Yes.
Yep. Absolutely. I unfortunately won't make it to that. So
yeah, me neither.
Settle for or seeing some people in Kansas City.
Although the plus side is that on Friday the 6th of March, like 3 weeks hence, I am supposedly going to be flying down to go visit Disney's Imagineering.
Yeah, cool.
I have no idea at this point whether or not I'm going to be able to take lots of pictures and tweet stuff out of it, or whether I'm going to have to sign NDAs, or what it's all going to come down to. So I'm not going to tease much more than that, but I have been asked with a small group of other journalists to come to this thing. So A, wicked cool, and B, I will keep everyone apprised. But,
please do. Yeah, actually, that's when we're going to be doing the panel Friday night.
Right. Oh, so you know what? If at all possible, we could like set up a Skype video call. Me inside Disney Imagineering to the panel at PAX, going, "Hi everyone, this is." you can have me say hi to the crowd, and then I'll sit. And then you set the laptop off to the side, and I'll have Disney and Goofy, or I'll have Goofy and Mickey. Wave to everyone, and then you guys do the
It'd be cool if we could actually make that work.
Yeah.
I don't know if Disney will let you, broadcast from inside their Imagineering stuff, but
okay. Dan Donahue cannot join us. He's actually in a training session showing other people how to use Skype right now.
Oh, well, what better way to show them than to participate in the Geek Dad podcast?
Yeah, come on. show them how you waste loads of time with Skype.
So speaking of upcoming Geek Dad things, we are going to be on this Friday posting the lists of nominations for what we hope will be the first annual Geek Dad Awards.
Yes.
As the second birthday of the Geek Dad blog is coming up on March 15th, so we thought, what better way to celebrate that than by giving awards to people who didn't know that we were giving out awards. And We, the writers and editors at Geek Dad, have come up with our nominations, and we will post them online so that our readers can vote for their favorites.
This is going to be fun. This is going to be a lot of fun. We still haven't figured out whether we can do some sort of trophy or something to send to anyone who wins and actually acknowledges, what that means, or that we've what they've won something from us. But the biggest challenge here I see is coming up with a name for the awards.
I think just Geek Dad Awards is probably.
Yeah, but we want the Gaddies.
I don't know.
Come on, chat room, help me out. The Geek Dad Awards, the GDAs, or the Geekies, or the anything?
No. Well, let's see. They call the Academy Awards the Oscars. Is there?
Because the statue looked like some guy named Oscar.
Right. Somebody's Uncle Oscar. Yeah. Right.
So the problem is we don't actually have an award at this point. Here's the question. Okay, so in theory, what would be the if we could come up with a statue for the award? I think we would make it look like the Robo guy, right? The robot dad.
Yep.
So we could call him the Robos.
Curtis suggests bacon.
Bacon. Oh, I like that. The bacon. Oh, yeah.
Oh, actually, no. Jenny suggested it first.
That was some. Yeah.
We do all like bacon, and bacon makes everything better.
Bacon makes everything better. That's it. It's the Bacon Awards. it was Ed's idea. Okay. Good job, Ed. Cheers. It's the Geek Dad Awards, now with more bacon.
Of course, they didn't exist until now, but
yeah. But that's, you know, that's besides the point.
Well, there's more bacon.
What about holding bacon?
6 degrees of geeky bacon, kid.
All right, you know what we need to do? We need to challenge one of our graphically inclined geek dads, which may be either Dave Banks or maybe Nathan.
Well, Jonathan's pretty good.
I was kidding.
Jonathan, Etch-a-Sketch Geek Dad Robot.
Okay, yeah. I could do an Etch-a-Sketch Geek Dad Robot. You want both robots?
Do both robots, and there must be bacon.
Plane and the plane too.
Could you do the Geek Dad logo, but in sort of 3D on an Etch-a-Sketch?
In 3D?
Yeah, I think.
I'm not sure.
What's that? It needs a little depth. Yeah.
All right, I'll give it a shot.
Well, I mean, you look at the logo; it's already in a perspective.
Yeah.
I could probably
just try.
I might be able to do that
because that could be pretty. Because you know what? Then the award. If we really did go into doing awards, if you took a very nice high resolution photo of that, we could have them printed nicely and framed and sent to people.
That would be cool.
All right.
Or we just get you enough Etch-a-Sketches.
Yeah, I could.
One for each person.
How do you ship an Etch-a-Sketch and not have it get erased?
I take all the powder out, actually.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, you can go to my website. I explain the whole process. I have shipped them cross country before.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yep.
So you can actually make the image permanent on the Etch-a-Sketch.
Yep.
It makes sense that you could. It just never really occurred to me.
Take the back off, take the rest of the powder out, and then like apply a coat of polyurethane to the inside of the.
Well, you don't actually have to apply anything at all. Yeah. Because that powder will not come off.
Oh, wow.
It's sort of the question, well, how do you get the powder to stay? Like, well, if you get it out of the Etch-a-Sketch, you realize how you get it to stay. It sticks to the glass because it sticks to everything.
Oh, wow. You know, I can also just see a great post in how the heck does an Etch-a-Sketch work?
All right. Well, it's been on my list of things I'll eventually get to.
In your copious free time, I know.
Yeah.
So, what do you think? Could you kick out like how many categories have we got? 8, 9, 10.
I lost count. A bunch.
See, that would actually be pretty damn cool.
That would be very, very cool.
You send an Etch-a-Sketch with the Geek Dad logo and the text of what they won on them, you know, permanently affixed to each of the winners. Is that asking too much, Jonathan, or do you think you could pull that off?
Time frame wise, I'm not absolutely sure. Yeah, okay. All right. I could definitely do one, you know, with the photo. Yeah, get a photo
The photo is our stock idea. And then maybe we think about the other one, you know, next year when we're that much bigger.
They're 15 categories.
Take me a little time to do 15 Etch-a-Sketches. Okay,
then we won't worry about it.
I'm not sure that's
understandable.
Before what? Next week, next month. You know, if you had the one top prize. We could give the, you know, some sort of, you know, like your best picture, whatever that is.
No, probably have to go to celebrity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because picture, who do you give it to? Do you really care about, you know, the producer, is it director, whomever? But
yeah, right. Like, you know, J.J. Abrams or, you know, James Cameron is really going to want that. Yeah.
Exactly. You know. Just, you know. Whereas on the celebrity level, some of those people might actually go for it. So. Yeah. All right. Awesome. See, last thing before we get down to Post of the Week, we wanted to talk about the very, very, very awesome new OK Go video.
Yeah. Which, if you haven't seen it, for anybody listening, you should. Right.
First of all, to set the stage, for the 0.1% of our audience, this is like, I was going to start. Has anyone ever flown Virgin America here? They have the best technical, the video they show for seatbelts and emergency stuff is hilarious. It's an animated video. And the part, the sarcastic part is, the voice that delivers it is all very, very dry. And he goes, for the 0.001% of you who have never used a seatbelt before, it goes like this. It's well done. It's worth flying the airline just to see the video. Well, I think you can find it online somewhere. But anyway, that was a huge aside from saying that for leading into this with, for the very, very few people, hopefully the very, very few people that have never seen an OK Go video. Obviously, the first where they came to significant internet prominence and fame was, and I don't even know the songs. You remember the videos, you don't remember the songs.
Yeah.
Was the video they did for one of their songs, which was them dancing on something like 5 running treadmills that were sort of each faced into the other one, overlapping in a row of 5 treadmills. Mm-hmm. And these guys have some pretty decent choreography skills, and they do this whole video as this dance on these 5 running treadmills, and it was mind-bogglingly cool. The other thing they're really good at is doing videos that are all one take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is really tremendous. So that was the first one was the treadmill video, which got them huge international notice. They have a new album out. They recently did a video for one song called This Too Shall Pass that basically involves like a stealth marching band. It is just hilarious. And they have finally followed that up. They're really getting to the groove with doing just the most imaginative videos possible. The new video, which actually happens to be for the same song, This Too Shall Pass, this video is basically a like 5-6 minute long Rube Goldberg contraption. And it is fantastic.
And after you watch it, go to Wired.com, and there's, you can see videos of how they did it. There's a post, I think it was Gadget Lab. It's one of the other Wired blogs has a post about how they did it.
And keep an eye out for the
very cool.
There's a car in it at one point.
Yeah, it's Gadget Lab. So.
There's a car in the video at one point, and it has some connection to Make.
Oh,
because it's got like the Make Lego painted on the side of this car.
Yeah, I thought I saw that.
Yeah. So. The minute you're done listening to this podcast, go out, find the video on YouTube. The band is called OK Go, letters O-K-G-O, OK Go. And the song is called This Too Shall Pass. And there's a couple of videos for it. Just watch them all, because these guys do really cool stuff.
I'm sure it'll shoot right to the top if you just search for OK Go.
Yeah, big time.
What is cool is that this one's actually embeddable, because that was one of the problems they had with one of their videos before, that they took a lot of criticism for, that you couldn't embed it.
Right.
With the site it was on, just wouldn't let you do it. They had to apologize for it. Yeah. But fortunately, this one's on YouTube, so No problem.
One other piece of geeky news that I just occurred to me to mention. Anyone checked their orange box on their Xboxes lately?
I don't have an orange box.
You don't have orange box?
I don't have an Xbox 360, so
I don't either. So okay.
There was an update like early yesterday or late the day before. That a game update to Portal.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
And what this did, it was very interesting. Suddenly it created 26 or a series of 26 new achievements for the game called something to do with radio. And all of a sudden, if you started playing the game on levels, you would start discovering these radios in the game that had not been there before. And if you, in various situations, depending upon how you can get to the radios in the game, you pick them up and move them into certain places, they would make sounds, usually some sort of staticky sound or some sort of like clicking sound or whatever. And this kicked off one of those massive sort of internet detective memes going. And this actually takes me back to, I don't want to say how many years ago this was, but it was in advance of the movie AI. Mm-hmm. There was a huge online sort of treasure hunt mystery viral marketing campaign.
Oh, yeah. Well, lots of things do that now.
Yeah. That was one of the first biggest ones.
Yeah.
That was like, what, 10 years ago?
Something like that.
11 years ago. I remember getting in part of that to the point where if you had been part of this forum that did it, they put out a special edition of the movie poster and it had every name of every forum member on the movie poster. I've still got a couple of copies of those in a closet somewhere. But anyway, so this started out, and basically what it looks like is this is a whole little bit of viral marketing for the fact that there's going to be a sequel to Portal.
There's a whole article on it on the Game Life blog on Wire. Yeah.
But I mean, to the point that, you know, some of it was like Morse code stuff, and then some of it was actually sound files that could be translated to graphic images. That then showed you things that made some sort of visual puzzles and all sorts of stuff that seemed to suggest that that maybe GLaDOS was rebooting or had backed herself up somewhere or who knows what.
Well, it can't be a huge surprise that they want to put out a sequel to it. I mean,
not at all.
Hugely successful game.
But it's,
I'm making a note here. Huge success.
The cake is a lot. But I mean, it's just so much fun. Now, first of all, what they've just done is given just about anybody who owns the game a reason to go back and play it again.
Yeah, it's very smart of them.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's also it's throwing a bone to their fans, who then get to get involved in this and try and figure out the puzzles, because obviously it's a puzzle game. So toss this really cool puzzle at people, and it's making news, so it's working perfectly. So smart folks. And with that, why don't we do some posts of the week?
Sure.
Matt, you want to kick it off?
Sure. I wanted to mention Curtis Silver's really excellent Great Geek Debate post, Han Solo versus Mal Reynolds. It's a really great idea for a comparison, just because, they're both sort of the space cowboys, mercenary, but with an underlying sense of honor. I always got the feeling when I was watching Firefly that Joss Whedon probably had the idea of putting a little Han Solo into Mal, you know, not making him a duplicate, of course, but just, you know, a little bit of that kind of character in there. And
right.
So it's a lot of fun to consider the similarities and the differences between the two. I really thought he did an excellent job of that. Just just talking about the differences in their personalities and the ways in which they're similar.
It's a good way. It definitely drew some focused internet attention, because I remember, you know, a number of hours into the first day it was up, and Mal was winning handily in the poll. And then somewhere overnight, I think it must have gotten posted to a Star Wars forum somewhere.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Han caught up, and I haven't seen what the numbers are lately.
Well, it's interesting, because it looks like there's more votes than there are hits on the post.
Well, I think, but the poll can be gotten independently, can't it?
That's true. I guess it can be. Or it could also be that somebody scripted it. So, I mean, it would be that hard to game it. So, if you really wanted to. Not that I know why you would really go to that much trouble to do that, since it's not like you win anything. Or, I mean, it's purely for entertainment purposes, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If anyone did go to the effort to game the poll, that's just, you know, just a sign of how dedicated Han's fans really are. So he deserves all those votes.
Well, sure. I mean, he's certainly been around for a lot longer, so you would expect him to have more fans.
Absolutely. All right.
I have a feeling that...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, I have a feeling that most of Mal's fans are also Han's fans, but not necessarily the other way around.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Anyone who's a Mal fan probably has a good, solid grounding in Star Wars.
Right.
Whereas there are probably more Star Wars people that have not seen Firefly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Simply from a generational standpoint.
That's probably true.
Exactly.
Excellent. Thumbs up. All right. Jonathan, what do you got?
I liked Jacob Russell's post on, I guess, part one of how to make your own horror board game. And he talked about... wanting to make a board game with his 13-year-old daughter, who's into horror movies and, just didn't really find the right game out there. So they decided to try to make their own. And so he's only posted part one so far, but I like the idea of, making a board game as a project with your kids. I think that's really cool. So I'd like to see where he goes with that.
Right, I'm gonna have to make sure I nudge him to keep that going. But
yeah,
yeah.
So Jacob has a ton of gaming experience, and he and I have been in a number of games together, and a number of the people that we know in that game have just depths of experience with game theory, so that I can't wait to see what he sort of gets out of everyone and puts into this game, because it could be a lot of fun. And as I've already mentioned to him, we've got John Kovalik as an honorary geek dad now.
Yep.
And John has a certain inside with a game company or two, so...
Isn't he one of the owners of...
One of the owners of a significant game company, so... yeah. So, if you came up with a good idea, there's that little...
I hear you can
use your network, man. You got to use your network. It's all about the people you know. So, awesome. Yes, hopefully, I might see Jacob on Saturday, so I'll have to make sure I let him know if he didn't listen to the podcast, and then say, where's part two, man? Keep it going.
Yeah, I'd like to see where it goes.
Yeah, because, in the very least, we could put it out on GeekDad as something for open source game for folks to play.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Well, then to wrap up the subject, I am going to talk a little bit about Jenny's post, actually a review of an iPhone app, which was called Secret Ada, and by a gentleman named Carlos Machiavelli. Hopefully I am not butchering his last name, but being a good Scot myself, that seems like about the right pronunciation. And this is an awesome app. I mean, technically, I guess it's a game, but it also has some learning to be done in it. And it is a